The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. The crew is here. Field Matthew. Star Fonny Bell for a preview show on a Friday. What's that?
It's a tradition like no other. Me trying to mess with my IFB and get that in while the show is starting up.
I just want to take a moment to note that what I thought you were going to say was a tradition unlike any other, in which I try to introduce the show and you take me to task for something. And so today, I came in with the most generic, simple, lame, to the point intro I could think of. Welcome into the show. It's Field Matthew and Stefania. It's a Friday. And you know what happened?
What's that?
You didn't interrupt me.
No, I didn't.
Thank you for that.
No, you're welcome.
I appreciate you.
Sure, appreciate you.
You're
appreciate
doing well,
everyone.
My friend. You're doing well?
Field didn't know what to do with him, so he's like, and I have nothing else to say because I'm waiting for somebody to cut
point.
Me off.
You know what? Kyle raises a very good point.
And thank you. What's that?
So Matthew is donning this very handsome shirt. For those that are watching on the live stream right now, they can already see it. But I happen to be, I'm usually the, Kyle and I are the early birds of this show. Matthew and Daniel arrive around the same time. But Daniel was here a little bit after Matthew, and I had pointed out to Matthew how much I admired his shirt. It looks very comfortable,
seasonally appropriate. I took as a huge compliment. Field is my fashion spirit animal. I've said this all along. Stefania is my handcuff. When Field's not available, I'll ask Stefania, like, if a tie goes, whatever. It's really
on all those.
But Field is
my,
on all the like on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday mornings. Like, you know, I'll ask you guys if
only,
you know, I'll bring
I'm
in a couple of ties
Field.
And I'll ask
he,
them to choose
really,
for me.
He reluctantly asked me.
Yeah, you're the handcuff. It's, you know, but given, you know, Field's my starter. Always start your studs. And so, anyway, so Field, who I have a tremendous respect for in many facets of life, but especially fashion.
Mostly fashion.
But
not in
there's a couple other areas where you've done very well for yourself. The fact that I got an unsolicited compliment on a shirt, I was very excited about it, especially because I just picked it out because it's crazy comfy. It's super warm. It's cold here in Bristol right now. And it's crazy comfy and warm.
Oh, it's bitterly cold, by the
it
way.
Is. Yeah.
It's freaking
but you
like
didn't
10 degrees
finish.
Out. But it's a very...
You meant to say that Daniel then...
Well, then Daniel followed up.
Yeah.
And
Daniel
happened to come in like 10 minutes later and was like, that's a really nice shirt, Matthew. So this is a winner.
There you go.
This is your new starting Friday.
I may sleep in it. I may wear this all next week.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League. This is the instant replay.
That is a helpful hint. I just want to take one quick moment here to thank you, Field. You, along with Tristan Cockcroft and Matt Bowen, the three of you all terrifically, you guys tag-teamed and wrote Love Hate for me this week. And I want to thank Mike Clay, who filled in for me on Tuesday. I'll deal with, as we wrote in the column, it was a family emergency that came up, nothing life-threatening, and it involves one of my kids, and when that child's a little bit more out of the woods, I'll talk about it further. But anyway, I just want to say thank you to you, thank you to Mike, thank you to Tristan and Matt Bowen, and thank you to everyone that reached out on social media when they read that, expressing their concern and their well wishes. It was it meant a lot.
All is good. And Keith, did I hear this correctly that we had the most reads of Love Hate in the history of the column yesterday on the first day?
No question about it.
Really?
I mean, probably the best received Love Hate in the history of the column.
And I heard Tuesday's podcast was actually the highest rated podcast of
and
the
Wednesdays
year. Is that correct?
And Thursdays.
That is accurate. And
did
on top of
Love
that,
Hate?
I actually got stopped by Bob Iger in the hallway and saying the fantasy shows on Monday and Tuesday were the two best fantasy shows they've ever seen on ESPN+.
I should acknowledge that as well. I apologize. Daniel, so this thing that happened, this family emergency happened while I was on set of the fantasy show. We had just started taping. We'd been about 10, 15 minutes into the show. And so, like, I immediately had to leave and go to the emergency room. And so, Daniel, Daniel took over and hosted both shows, hosted the Monday and Tuesday show. So thank you, Daniel, for filling in.
I mean, Bob said he loved it. So that
Sure. And everyone, and thank you to everyone and the entire staff of the Fantasy Show, the entire ESPN Fantasy staff, and everyone here that was incredibly gracious and maneuvered a bunch of schedules and helped me out. ESPN does a lot of great things, but they are unbelievably supportive when things happen in real life. So anyway, my thanks to the entire company and specifically the staffs of this podcast of the Fantasy Show and the editorial department of ESPN Fantasy. But listen, knowing the huge success when I wasn't here, can I leave? Can I Trent Williams?
Get the heck out of here.
I was going to let you go. I was going to.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can lose that shirt on today's show.
Great point, Daniel. Great
right.
point.
All right, we've screwed around long enough. Let's get to some football.
We start with Thursday night's game when the Raiders improved to 5-4. 26-24 is the final score. Couple of takeaways maybe from last night. We can go a few different directions. We want to talk about Tyrell Williams a little bit. I'll hijack that just for 1 second to say that Melvin Gordon appears to be all the way back.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon ran explosively last night. He found the end zone. He had how many catches? Two catches last night? One catch for 25 yards. It
Correct.
Was a long, he sort of
toe tapped down. Yeah. If you watch him, you're like, oh, I remember that guy.
That's right.
That's what you saw. You breaking look at, tackles, spin moves. I mean, it really
100%
looked like
looked explosive, yeah. looked tough to tackle. Looked like Melvin Gordon right. 2018. Looked like the guy we remembered.
Yes. So good news there. And if you have been, I think most people who drafted him were able to play the long game because of the fact that they got him at such a discounted price.
For sure.
He was a reasonable bench piece. You feel good about that going forward, including Stefania Bell.
But, I think the concern here, and concern is maybe not the right word, but so in a game in which, you know, listen, the Chargers were competitive, obviously, and they just lost, you know, last second there. Melvin Gordon got 23 touches. Austin Eckler got 8.
How about that?
And look, he bails you out because he caught the touchdown pass late, and so you're excited about that, unless you're me and playing against him like I am, because Scott Clark has him in the world of looming, and Scott Clark is trying to Scott Clark me this week. And so of course, like a freaking Scott Clark. Anyway, but so how concerned are you, Field and Stefania, if you have Austin Eckler? Because it had been pretty much an even split. And here, again, he bails out with a touchdown, but you can't feel good about a 23-8 touch disparity between the two running backs.
Yeah, don't feel great about it, but I still think he is up there. I think the Patriots, the Chargers, maybe the Saints are the three backfields where you can probably start two guys.
You know,
Packers as well. Excuse me, I'm forgetting
Packers,
the Packers.
Yep.
And you know you're going to get some points.
Yes, so I still feel fine about Austin Eckler. Again, thinking
49ers
about where
too.
You drafted him.
Oh, 49ers.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. There are a handful of backfields where you can start both players and feel pretty confident about them. I still think the passing game upside for Austin Eckler is ridiculous. I know that last night only 8 touches, but going into that game, I believe he led all running backs in terms of catches so far this season. So still feel pretty good about him. On the don't know if I feel as great about it side, Tyrell Williams is he only a matchup play? Part of what he did at the beginning of the year was masked by the fact that he caught a touchdown in 4 straight games. We knew that was bound to regress. But he's now under 15 receiving yards in back-to-back games, under 50 receiving yards in 5 of 7 games this season. Do we think that Tyrell Williams is sort of matchup dependent here, or are we still just sort of starting him because he is the nominal number one target in this passing game?
Here's the weird part is I don't necessarily think he's matchup dependent, but he's touchdown dependent.
Okay, fair
enough.
So,
I mean, like, that's what it is, right? I mean, he's never been a huge volume guy, and even when he was having success in Oakland earlier in the season, it was touchdown based, right? What did he score? I think he scored in his first 5 games, first 6?
5 straight games.
5 straight games.
I need to correct myself.
And so yeah, I mean, like, here's, the, like, his line, 3 for 25, like, you'd like a little bit more there, but, like, if it's 3 for 25 and a touchdown, that's basically what Tyrell Williams has been doing this year. So I think he's a touchdown dependent wide receiver 3.
Yep, 3 catches exactly in 5 straight games for Tyrell Williams. So touchdown dependent seems about right, but this Raiders offense is playing much more effectively. I believe Mike Clay notes this, that they're the only team in the NFL, I think, with 3 offensive touchdowns in now 6 straight games. So the Raiders offense kind of humming.
Yep.
But the concern of them playing well is the reason they haven't been playing well is honestly they've been getting everyone involved. You've seen more Hunter Renfro, Josh Jacobs getting more involved in the passing game, and Waller the baller has suddenly become Waller the smaller.
Well done right
thanks.
There.
Get this. I had a league where I posed a question
okay.
to the public because I had injuries, and bye weeks. And my choices, this is just a couple weeks ago, Hunter Renfrow and Darius Slayton. People saying, get out of fantasy football if those are your two choices. Well, we were down. It's a huge 14-team league. You're down to Von Miller. Sure. These two, I'm getting a note from Daniel that says big girl voice because I'm not loud. And then they yell at me because I'm not loud enough into the microphone.
Got it. Understood. Thank you for taking us behind the...
In my big girl voice.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfrow and Darius Slayton both turning out to put up points.
They are.
You know, not... Look, they're not your starters.
No.
But if you're desperate for a flex play, Hunter Renfrow is now seeing involvement that I don't think is going away.
If you are in deeper leagues, look, I like Hunter Renfrow. I think he's a nice little player here. Darius Slayton, I think, is a little, you know, listen, opportunity there with Sterling Shepard out. Yeah. So I'm with you, Stefania. I think a deeper league PPR option potentially going forward. But Darren Waller's actually concerning me. First six games, here's a guy that averaged 17.5 fantasy points per game. Last three games, including last night, in which he went 3 for 40 on 5 targets, he had one bad drop, but still, like, he's just not being involved as much, and teams are either targeting him in terms of really focusing defensive attention on him, and Derek Carr spreading the ball around so much. So over the last three games, including last night, he's averaging 7.8 fantasy points per game. For the season, 7.8 fantasy points per game is tight end 17, just ahead of TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, not great.
So just want to point that out, Daniel, real quickly. TJ Hockenson, tight end 18 on the season. Just, you know, first round pick of your Detroit Lions.
Real quick question, where's Jordan Reed at on the season? I'm just wondering.
Low blow right there.
Yeah. You know what? He's taking care of his health for the longevity of his life.
How about Vernon Davis?
Vernon Davis had a career you can only dream of. he's had a career that...
Jeremy Sprinkle? Where's Jeremy Sprinkle at so far this year?
Really? Jeremy Sprinkle? TJ Hockenson went, like, whatever he went. Top 15? Like, what was his draft pick? Where was he picked?
Eighth
overall, and that's where you're going? Jeremy Sprinkle smack talk?
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, you got me. Okay. You got me. Your eighth overall pick has been better than Jeremy Sprinkle this year.
This is how arguments with Matthew work.
Thank you very much.
He gives it to you, and then you try and come back to him, and it's like,
Jeremy Sprinkle tossed back to him.
He gave you your number one, your number two, and then your number three.
And then
Jordan Reed is hurt. He's hurt. And listen, we wish him the best. We want him to take care of himself. We want this guy to have a long, healthy life.
Yes, we do.
Right? Vernon Davis at age, I believe he just qualified for Social Security. He's been nothing short of fantastic. Let's see if TJ Hockenson's even playing in the league at 35. Forget at a high level the way Vernon Davis is, right? And then Jeremy Sprinkle, whatever. For the record, by the way, Vernon Davis on a completely defunct offense that sucks, right? And at age 35 years old is averaging one fantasy points per game less than TJ Hockenson. Matthew Stafford's been nothing short of fantastic this year.
Hold on. Nobody cares. Let's talk about the injuries. How about that? Fair enough?
I'm just yelling at Daniel.
Okay. Moving on to Stefania's top injury concerns.
No, but Darren Waller. We're back to Darren Waller. My point is you
had your chance.
No, then Daniel interrupted it.
Make the point.
I'm nervous about Darren Waller.
Great job,
okay.
Daniel.
We got
and
that.
Matthew.
Anyone else? Am I the only one that's worried about him?
No.
A little nervous? Too.
Move on.
All right, let's move forward. It's time now for Stefania's top injury concerns of the week, and some of them might not be much of a concern, Stefania. We begin with Patrick Mahomes, who actually looks like he has a chance to play on Sunday.
He does, and by concerns, I'll tell you why these qualify. These are like the five biggest either impact because they're names or storylines, or they affect other fantasy players on your roster as well. So that's how I sort of come up with the top five for the week. Patrick Mahomes, doing more. Listed as a full participant in practice, I will say, still running with the number twos in those full practices, and Andy Reid being sort of vague, just saying we want to see how does he respond, how well he moves around. They're not giving us a hint yet. Obviously, today being Friday, we should have a pretty good idea, but the arrows are pointing in the direction of him returning this weekend, at least as of right now. It's been 3 weeks since he dislocated his patella on a Thursday night game, so it would be just over 3 weeks in his return.
Okay, so we expect to see Patrick Mahomes back. Matthew, it is simple. Patrick Mahomes returns. You start Patrick Mahomes. Titans defense is actually fairly tough, but it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the king. You feel great about that.
Hashtag analysis.
Thank you for that. Stefania, David Johnson, he also has been participating in full practices so far this week. You think he'll be back?
I did. Well, he says he'll be back. He says he is definitely playing. Like,
you hear that? Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle?
Yeah, he is definitely playing. He's missed the last two games, obviously, with the ankle issue after he stepped on the field and played three snaps. So this week against Tampa Bay, full David Johnson. And there you go.
Okay, Matthew, I know some people are a little bit concerned because that Bucs run defense is really, really good. But you and I are actually fairly bullish on David Johnson this week. I think both of us feel as though, yes, it's going to be hard to run the football against them. But yes, David Johnson is one of the best pass-catching running backs in football.
Weeks 1 through 6. So don't count the week 7 game in which he left at, you know. You remember that week 7 game where he was only going to play in an emergency and Cliff Kingsbury decided that a 0-0 tie in the first quarter was an emergency, and so David Johnson played and then left early, and then Chase Edmonds started, and then the Twitter account trolled all of us.
I don't remember
anything. Anyway, forget that game. So weeks 1 through 6, David Johnson ran 27 routes run per game. And so right now, among qualified running backs, Le'Veon Bell leads the NFL among running backs in 27 routes run per game. So he would be tied for, you know, those first 6 weeks when he was healthy. He was a guy that was running a bunch of routes. You think about the Arizona Cardinals offense and what they found in Kenyon Drake. My expectation here is that you see Drake do some of the running. They'll switch off the running, but David Johnson's going to be involved a lot as a pass catcher in a great matchup against a secondary that can't guard anyone. If David Johnson's active, you're starting David Johnson.
The follow-up to that, because a lot of people are asking, is what do I do with Kenyon Drake? Chase Edmonds obviously still.
What do I do with Kenyon Drake?
Okay. So what do you do? Are you?
I'm asking you.
Well, I wouldn't be starting him unless I was absolutely desperate, because I think David Johnson's going to assume his role as being the feature back. I don't know how much work is left for Kenyon Drake. I will say that I projected David Johnson lower at the start of the week because I wanted to see how he did with full practices.
Okay.
And how Arizona sort of played it. Like, were they going to be careful in bringing him back? Was there going to be any sort of a snap count? All the chatter is that he comes back, he's fully back. So to me, that makes Kenyon Drake's value go out the window for me, unless I'm absolutely desperate to change pace.
See, I'm okay with him as a flex because I think there'll be enough work there again. David Johnson get a workload here, but I think this is a high-scoring game. I mean, remember, the over-under, I believe, is 52 at the moment. So I haven't checked the most recent lines. It's one of the highest on the week. So my expectation is that Kenyon Drake, after how well he played last week, doesn't go away. And then you think about 6 teams on a bye, and you're just scraping around for anyone with a pulse in some leagues. And
yeah,
so
scraping.
Yeah. And so I believe that Kenyon Drake is a viable flex play this week going up against Tampa Bay in that run, in that pass defense. Again, Kenyon Drake can be used in the passing game as well. So there's certainly some risk there with Drake, but I think we're going to talk throughout this show, Field, about different guys that are, you know, sort of borderline flex plays that, like, you don't love in a normal week, but given how many teams are on a bye this week, that you kind of, like, if you squint your eyes, you can sort of make a case for it, and I think Kenya Drake's in that class.
James Conner Stefanius seems like the first player on this list so far that is an actual concern.
Yeah, a real concern, although the week started out sort of positive. He was back in practice, and then he didn't practice at all on Thursday, and now it's sort of the tea leaves are sort of pointing to him potentially not playing. This is complicated because in terms of their running back situation, obviously Jalen Samuels is the go-to. For fantasy purpose, he's the number one. But Trey Edmonds, who ended up leading the team in carries last week, he's banged up with a rib injury, didn't practice either day this week, so he may not be available. Benny Snell's still out with a knee injury. They signed re-signed running back Darren Hall to their practice squad. Obviously, they need people on the field to practice this week. But I think it's going to be a workload for Jalen Samuels, who ended up being big in the passing game for them last time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think Jalen Samuels is a, you know, borderline RB1, you know, a top 12-ish
where
kind
I've
of
got
play.
Him ranked, right, number 10 for me amongst running back ranks against the Rams this weekend. 13 catches last weekend, Matthew. How do you ignore this guy?
I don't think you can. I think, I haven't adjusted my ranks to account for James Conner yet, but Jalen Samuels will be moving up. So anyone seeing the video may say, like, oh, why do you have him at 17? I think he's higher than that. So after I always do update my ranks after the Friday practices, and we get a much better sense of who's in and who's out. So Jalen Samuels will certainly be moving up. Remember, Jalen Samuels, so far in his career, when he's gotten at least 10 touches, He averages over 18 fantasy points per game. We expect him to get over 10 touches against the Rams in a game in which they're going to need to throw to keep up with L.A.
No question about that. Stefania, A.J. Green, this has been a weird one. We talked to you on Wednesday, and at that time, there was a lot of optimism. Since then, not so much.
I was full of optimism, and part of it was because of how A.J. Green sounded and the kind of work that he was doing. But do you guys remember when he had this ankle injury, and I said, everybody was talking about how long until he comes back, and I said, it's not even how long until he comes back. My worry is once he does, is this ankle going to continue to be a problem? That concern has manifested itself before we even ever got to game participation, because as he increased his activity, he ended up having recurring swelling in his ankle. I said all along that I thought there was a joint issue here that had the potential to be problematic for him. And yes, you look in the whole big picture in the context of things, what happens to him? He goes to free agency after this year. He's trying to look out for his long-term health. But this is not a guy who I believe, and I've seen this out there, that, he's just not willing to play. Not the way he's been working. And if you look at his history, extraordinary work ethic and trying to come back, it's in his interest to get fully healthy. This is not the way he wants it to go. So definitely having problems still with his ankle. And now he's as much as said he will not be available. His ankle is bothering him too much.
Matthew, it's a huge bummer. We'll see if we see A.J. Green at all this season. But let's focus on the short term right now. Other Bengals and what impact there is whatsoever. Are we kind of back to where we were before, which was Tyler Boyd, do you feel fine for him as a low-end wide receiver too, maybe a flex? And then Auden Tate, sort of the deeper league name to consider given the volume and the skill set he has shown so far this season.
5 for 91 the last time he faced these Baltimore Ravens. He got 12 targets as well. Ravens have struggled a little bit in the secondary. They're 18th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. The interesting thing will be is, like, again, as you're sort of sifting around and we're talking about, I need somebody, will Alex Erickson, who has sort of come on recently, have more of a role here? Because the previous game against the Ravens, he wasn't really a factor, and so it had been sort of the Auden Tate show. And they used Humphrey against Tyler Boyd, which we weren't really expecting. So you saw a lot of that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I prefer Tate to Erickson this week if you're choosing between, non-Tyler Boyd wide receivers. But it's all, not ideal.
Oh, desperate. It's a very good, very good secondary, new quarterback. It's the Bengals.
I was just going to say, Ryan Finley makes his debut, rookie quarterback against the Ravens. That's a tough spot to...
Poor guy. Remember we were saying on Wednesday, how excited are you if you're Ryan Finley and you get A.J. Green back? How depressed are you, Ryan Finley, on Thursday when you find out?
No, you're not getting A.J. Green and you got to face the Ravens. All that said, if there's one positive here, is they've known this is coming. So they named Ryan Finley the starter a while ago, so they've been able to practice all through the bye week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Ravens and get Ryan Finley up to speed, so we'll see how that all plays out.
You are very positive. You're looking for a positive. There is one. They've had 2 full weeks to prepare for the 6-2 Baltimore Ravens.
Correct.
All right, Stefania, this one has not flown under the radar entirely, but because the first practice report came out last night with the Monday night game, there's starting to be some growing concerns surrounding George Kittle for this for the 49ers.
Yeah, and I think it has flown under the radar because we saw Kittle go back in the game last Thursday after he hyperextended his knee, played for a while. Then it was bothering him, and he comes out, watches the rest from the sideline, and you think, oh, okay, that's understandable. You pull him out now, and you save him going into next week. But the knee issue is not the only thing he's dealing with. He's also got an ankle injury, and you just look at, again, the big picture. The fact that he's not able to practice, and I would suspect that there's a higher chance that Kittle does not play on Monday night than that he plays. He's George Kittle. He's a gamer. He may try and make a case for it last minute, but right now, as of today, I do not expect George Kittle to be there on Monday.
Very difficult. Stefania will be there at that game on Monday night. Very difficult to handle this one from a fantasy perspective because you might have to make a choice early on Sunday. So I guess the question, Matthew, would be, if you have George Kittle, is your instinct to find the best available option for Sunday and play that player, or do you ride it out and then at 7 p.m. on Monday night, you prepare yourself to either add, let's say,
Jacob Hollister
or Ross Dwelly from the 49ers, mm-hmm. who's been sort of a fullback for them but has caught some passes.
But it will be interesting because Kyle Juszczyk expected back for Monday night. So kind of wonder how that could mix things up for them.
I think it depends on what your options are.
Okay.
So it's hard to sort of give a blanket statement. If you have another viable option at tight end,
yeah,
you know, if Delaney Walker doesn't play and Jonnu Smith is out there, okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody like that that has shown some pulse. Okay, so there you go. So, right. So it depends on sort of who's available to you. Like, you know, Rhett Ellison, Evan Engram not going to play. So how about Rhett Ellison against the Jets?
Right.
So it sort of depends on your level of risk. But I believe, ultimately, that George Kittle is so good and so tough, and that even 50% of George Kittle is better than 100% of most other players. I think it's probably worth the gamble to pick up Jacob Hollister if you can, and then see what happens on Monday night.
I like that approach. Is like, if you can snag, because there are six teams on a bye. So the reason I mentioned, well, actually, that would hurt your chances because you might have to keep players, but you might have to, like, let's say your quarterback's on a bye. You might already be rostering a second quarterback. But if you have that flexible bench spot, maybe make the move right now on someone like Hollister, who had 2 touchdowns last week, and then ride it out with Kittle.
I think the difference between a guy like Jacob Hollister and someone that's like a Jonnu Smith, a Rhett Ellison, some of these other guys, then I think that the difference there is not enough for me to completely take away the opportunity to get Kittle, even if he's less than 100%.
Yep. Cool.
So that's how I would approach that. But again, it sort of all depends on your options and where you are in your league and how you feel about your team this week versus your opponent, and a lot of factors that go into it.
More injuries coming up, but now we move over to Lions and Bears, and Matthew Stafford has been red. Well done, right there, Stefania. Matthew Stafford's been red hot of late, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football over the past 3 weeks. But now he has a very, very difficult matchup. Yours truly wrote the quarterback section of Love Hate this week, and Matthew Stafford made the hate section. I've got him at 17 this week in my quarterback rankings.
And the thoughts and why?
It's very personal, as you know. Love Hate has always been about personal opinion and feelings and emotions, so it's all personal. Hate Georgia. No, I love Matthew Stafford. I love the Lions too.
Sure.
But and I'm credit
one prize.
All of this goes to Kyle Soppe, the great research from Kyle Soppe each week. But where he has thrived this season is throwing the ball to the perimeter, because he has 2 outstanding targets in Kenny Galladay and also Marvin Jones Jr. He ranks first in points per completion to the perimeter, 1.24. Right. That's also the one area, or one of the areas, where the Bears have basically been eliminators this season. They are second in the NFL in points per opponent perimeter completion at 0.53, second to only the Patriots. And for whatever reason, all NFC North quarterbacks, not just Matthew Stafford, but the great Aaron Rodgers, the sometimes good Kirk Cousins, and other quarterbacks along the way have struggled at Soldier Field over the past 3 seasons. The last time an NFC North quarterback went into Soldier Field and scored more than 20-plus points, he was throwing the football to Calvin Johnson. Yes, it was Matthew Stafford. That was a long time ago.
Long time ago. Since the beginning of the 2016 season, only one quarterback has thrown 3 or more touchdown passes in Chicago. That was Tom Brady in 2018, week 7 of last year. So, yeah, I think it's – and Stafford has traditionally struggled on the road when he's not playing in a dome, and so I'm with you here. I think Stafford is somebody that is merely a mid-tier QB2 this week.
Yeah, I feel the same way there on Stafford. A little bit nervous, but conversely, same game, different position. David Montgomery found the end zone twice last week. Before that, really good.
Yeah.
Daniel is ardent. Don't play David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Against my tough Lions run defense.
What does Daniel know?
That's a good question.
It's not about my tough Lions run defense.
Oh, okay. What's it about?
The idea that David Montgomery is, maybe he's just not a good running back. How about the fact that they gave the ball to Tariq Cohen at the 1 yard line rather than big old David Montgomery, who they drafted
this year?
It's
hilarious. It's just great to think about it.
Right.
You've got this 225 pound freight train, and instead, let's hand it to the guy
that's the only time that's happened. By the way, David Montgomery has 11 of the Bears, 12 carries inside the 5 yard line this season. Like, and listen, I'm not even a David Montgomery fan. Like, he was not a big sleeper for me the way he was for others going into the season. All that said, like, he's their goal line back. Like, and that's what's kept his fantasy value afloat, is that they keep giving him chance after chance after chance when they get in close. I mean, look, he's averaging, since week 4, he's averaging 13.9 fantasy points per game, and yet he ranks 37th of 43 running backs in yards per carry over that stretch. I mean, so it's just been a volume thing with him.
Yeah, so
right?
He's Trent Richardson is what you're saying.
He, honestly, the underlying number, I think he's a little bit better than Trent Richardson, but yeah, I mean, underlying numbers suggest sort of that it's I don't think it's all on David Montgomery. I think it's the offensive line. I think the whole offense, candidly, is broken.
Totally. And, yeah. and that's it is not just about David Montgomery, hate, but like without having like Mitchell Trubisky in that passing game is
but
not
brutal.
Thriving. So like obviously teams are going to want to key in and stop the run. So,
but I don't know. I think he's a top 20 play this week. Just again, given the other options that are out there, given the volume that you expect here, I'm not really that worried about Detroit. I mean, over the last 4 weeks, they're 30th against the run. The Lions are 30th against the run.
We've been brutal.
Awful.
Absolutely brutal against
Very
the run.
Surprising. I mean, so, that I thought on paper would be the strength.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, he's going to get good volume. He's going to get good volume in a good matchup. Because you think about Matt Nagy and what's he going to do? Let Ooh. Trubisky throw it?
I actually have a fun potential board bet here.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
I'm organizing between you two, so you guys can
sure,
decide.
Sure, okay.
I don't think he's a top 20
More fantasy
running back.
Points this week, David Montgomery or Matthew Stafford?
Oh, I would still probably take Stafford just because he's a quarterback.
Okay.
It's close, though.
Give me a 5-point over-under on Ty Johnson. I'll take Ty Johnson over David Montgomery this week. Give me 5 points.
Does Ty Johnson get 5 more points? The Bears are, see, I don't know that I, here's a, because I don't love Ty Johnson, but I will say this. I will say that the Bears are really bad against pass-catching running backs. And so it's whether it's Ty Johnson or J.D. McKissick. I don't know. One of those guys is going to have a good game. The Bears are brutal against pass-catching running backs. So, I don't know that we have a. I don't know
all
that
right.
we have a board, but
That's
I would do
right.
something specifically to David Montgomery. I say David Montgomery's a top 20 play this week.
I probably agree with you. The Lions.
What are you doing? You can't start him. Who are you, Matthew?
Where's
all right,
the horn
fine.
Blowing?
I say David Montgomery is not a top 20 running back this week.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right.
There
I felt like
go.
That.
Whoa, Keith!
Oh, not Keith. Wow,
not cool.
Keith, like breaking stuff. You give the guy one song, and suddenly he's Van Halen.
He's got people who are listeners.
He's big
whose
mad.
Kids
he's big
are
mad.
Singing.
Yeah, he's trashing the. Song, he's like a rock star now. He's trashing the control room.
That had a Back to the Future feel to it. There,
yeah, a little
you know,
bit.
We just basically called him chicken, and he just like, all right, hell with it. Top 20.
Yeah.
Do you guys
Pretty
ever
much.
Feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
Dude, all the time.
It
always, constantly.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience at all.
Oh, at all.
With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. They built the fastest way to find tickets, so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals, red dots are overpriced, and every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. Kareem Hunt returns this weekend for the Cleveland Browns. And this is totally observational. I have no intel on this. But I follow the Browns closely. I follow a lot of the reporters there. I follow the team account. I watch a lot of the press conferences because they're usually pretty interesting. Baker, Odell, etc. I talk to Keith every day.
That's part of your Browns coverage?
That's part of my Browns coverage, yeah.
Okay, got it.
They have been talking like a team that plans to legitimately use Kareem Hunt on Sunday. Like, they sound like a team. But then again, coach speak is a very dangerous game to play in the world of fantasy sports. So under what circumstances, Matthew, would you feel comfortable actually having Kareem Hunt in your lineup?
So there's a couple. If I played in a Kareem Hunt only league, like he's like the number one draft pick, right?
I had him 3 on my big board, but
fair,
sure.
Understood. But yeah. So I don't believe there are any circumstances in which I would feel comfortable starting Kareem Hunt. Now, are there circumstances in which I would start Kareem Hunt? Sure, of course there are. Look, Kareem Hunt, and we talked about this show on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus yesterday as well. Or I'm sorry, in today's show. It's today's show. We
days are fleeting. Who cares?
It's been a weird week. It's been a weird week here.
I'll say.
Okay. Look, Buffalo's a lot of Buffalo is not a great matchup here, but they're actually struggling against the run, believe it or not. Last 4 weeks they're 31st against the run. And so you think about how this passing game has been inconsistent, and maybe do they try to just run the heck out of the ball, right? And so you're going to see a lot of Nick Chubb, but we'll also get Kareem Hunt in there. And so Kareem Hunt, who, you know, on a points per touch basis, when he was active, was one of the best in the NFL. So you're telling me Kareem Hunt gets, call it 8 touches in this game, 6 to 8 touches? Could that be a viable flex play in a week where 6 teams are on a bye? It could be. It could be, because there's a chance that he scores. He's an insanely talented player. We know that. But there's obvious risk because we don't know what the role is. He hasn't played since November 19th of 2018. And it's not a good team. It's not a good offense. And so, you know, if there's a positive here, it's that the game is in Cleveland. You can run on Buffalo, and that they may want. Yeah. I'm sorry?
It's the first of 3 straight games, as a matter of fact.
In Cleveland.
Home. This is, and I feel like a little bit of a moron for even entertaining this thought. Because I'm actually picking the Buffalo Bills to win this game. But if there is one last gasp for the Browns to get back on track this year, it is because they win these next 3 games. They're all played at home, which the comforts of home can do some great things to football teams.
Sure.
Maybe Kareem Hunt provides a spark plug. You gave the stats from a fantasy perspective about, you know, his efficiency on a points per touch basis.
Yeah.
But like anybody who knows football knows this guy's an absolute stud. Like you just watch him from a football player perspective. Kareem Hunt is one of the best in the game.
We can leave the whether he should be playing or not, the moral judgments, that's not our job to do. But from a pure fantasy football perspective, Kareem Hunt is a very good NFL player.
But
on a team that wants to run the ball.
So my only thought is this, is that if I'm a Browns fan that's hopeful to turn things around, and obviously Keith is one of many of them, that Kareem Hunt can be a galvanizing force for this team. That they came into this season with so many expectations and they've underachieved, and it's hard to dig yourself out of that rut sometimes. Maybe Kareem Hunt is what it takes. Now, I'm with you. I've got him outside my top 30 for running backs. I am starting Kareem Hunt in the War Room League, which is, remember, 16-team leagues. We have 2 flex spots, and I've got Sterling Shepard, unlikely to play. A.J. Green, unlikely to play. I've got Leonard Fournette on a bye this week. So we are banged up.
Yeah.
But Kareem Hunt will make our flex spot this week, our second flex spot. I would have him as like a 16-team only player for this week because you want to see it. But Matthew?
Pick him up.
Wait, heck, it wouldn't surprise me? Wouldn't surprise me if next week we're talking about Kareem Hunt. I mean, I should say, I'm not necessarily guaranteeing this, but if we were having the conversation next week of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are both top 25 running back plays, you wouldn't be surprised.
Would not at all, especially given how much that passing game has struggled. And think about this matchup here again. Last 4 weeks, Bills 31st against the run, the 3rd against the pass. So how do you attack Buffalo is you run the ball. Yep. And Thirsty Kyle throws up on the screen. I didn't have the exact number off the top of my head. So Kareem Hunt averaged 1.11 points per touch in 2018. That was one of the highest rates in the NFL. He gets 10 touches. Like, that is a very viable flex play.
It's going to be hilarious when the Browns give him 4 carries for 18 yards on Sunday. That's just, you know, like we've talked him all
four
about.
4 carries for 18 yards and 2 of them are touchdowns, though.
Okay,
watch
that works.
Do that. Like, I mean, I just, again.
I know.
Chubb's going to get his. It's just whether they want to go more run heavy to take some more pressure off of Beckham and that offensive line.
Let's move along to another game involving an AFC North team.
That's Beckham, Baker, and the offensive line, I should say.
Yep. The Steelers are hosting the Rams. Steelers are now 4-4. The Rams are coming off of their bye. We'll talk about the Rams in a second, but are you benching Juju Smith-Schuster?
I'm outside my top 20.
Yeah.
So he's not a must start, if that's the question.
So over since week 4, he has just 1 end zone target. It's downright Odell Beckham-like. He has under 20 receiving yards in 3 of his past 5 games. Mason Rudolph ain't it. That's
no,
not it,
dude.
Right?
No.
So
not
you
offense
might,
is
yeah.
not made I mean, for
since,
Juju.
Since week 6, the Steelers are 26th in pass percentage, right? The Bills pass more often than the Steelers since week 6, right? And so, you know, the Rams have a pretty good defense, and while we don't expect Jalen Ramsey to shadow Juju Smith-Schuster when he goes into the slot, he'll take care of him when he's on the perimeter, and there's nothing that we've seen. Mason Rudolph was decent against Miami after a slow start.
Ish, yeah.
Ish. I mean, but that's the thing.
He was decent-ish. Yeah, I agree.
There's nothing that we have seen from Mason Rudolph and the Steelers offense that gives you confidence about Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, if you're starting him, you're starting him for a couple reasons. You're starting him because you don't have any other better options, and you're starting him because you know the insane talent of this player, and you're hoping he gets loose for one. You're hoping for a touchdown. You're hoping, you're hoping that his insane football talent wins out because there's nothing this year that gives you confidence in starting him.
He's not going to be a frequent target as long as Mason Rudolph is there. The offense has just completely changed for him.
Yeah, and 40% of the time he's on the perimeter, so he's going to see a decent amount of Jalen Ramsey as well. And
All right.
The other thing is you know, listen, you think about how Mason Rudolph is, and he struggles under pressure. And one of the reasons why Jalen Samuels had such a huge game against the Dolphins is the Dolphins were getting to Mason Rudolph, and it was just quick dump offs. Right now, he's got to face Aaron Donald, Aaron Donald. Ugh, not Sam Darnold, and not the ghost. I'm seeing the same ghost as Sam Darnold. Aaron Donald. Now he's got to see Aaron Donald and the defensive line of the Rams. Like,
yeah, that sounds like a perilous opportunity ahead.
It feels like another reason why we like Jalen Samuels this week, because it's going to be a bunch of dump offs.
So same game. Brandon Cooks took to Instagram last night to update his status regarding his concussion, but this much we already know: he's out for the game, which means Josh Reynolds will step in. So, are you considering starting Josh Reynolds?
By the way, I would just like to applaud Brandon Cooks for 1 second here. Just, you know, it's nice to see a wide receiver take to social media and not completely curse out and burn his career. It's just nice to see. I appreciate Brandon Cooks updating us on his health situation. We wish him the best. Yeah. I've actually done an event with Brandon Cooks. He's a great guy. He's like an awesome human being.
Brandon Cooks is regarded as one of the finest humans in the NFL.
He is a fantastic human being. So we all wish him the best.
High character and in the purest form.
Yeah, just an awesome human being. And so really hope, Brandon gets better and gets better soon. Anyway, congrats to Brandon. We wish you the best. Let's talk about Josh Reynolds now.
Josh Reynolds will be the next man up as the third wide receiver for the Rams. Now, Kyle has told us that they have a league high 94.6% of their passes since the beginning of last season with three wide receivers on the field. So you know that Josh Reynolds is going to play a lot
on the field.
Now, Mike Clay has cautioned us a couple of times this week that in these opportunities where you expect a lot out of Josh Reynolds, he's delivered 9.9 fantasy points on average when replacing another wide receiver. Remember, Cooper Kupp missed time last year. He's filled in for Brandon Cooks previously. I think this is a player that is perfectly slotted as like a borderline flex play in a deeper league because he's Jekyll and Hyde.
He's a wide receiver four.
So we all have him right around there after the injury updates that Brandon Cooks go through with our rankings and the projections and all that. So if you're in a deeper league, again, in our 16-team league, he'll be started this week.
You know, if you're watching this on video right now, if you're watching us on YouTube or the ESPN app or Twitter or the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page. It's hard to remember all the various places you can watch us. But if you're seeing it, you're seeing the video, and you're noting the stat that is there on the graphic, which is that in his career, when he averages 25 or more routes, he averages almost 12 fantasy points per game. Right? Last week, 11.9, and that last week that would have been wide receiver 30.
Right.
Just, by the way, borderline wide receiver 4. And that's about what we're looking at here with Josh Reynolds. And so sort of just depends on kind of your options here. So we don't think he's a must-add or a must-start, but if you're desperate, you could do worse than Josh Reynolds.
Now, conversely, you might be benching his quarterback, Jared Goff, who we know the home road splits. It's apparent. It's been that way since the start of last season. The Steelers are good on defense, too. Since week 3, they're 7th in scoring defense, 5th in sacks, 3rd in interceptions. They play on that slow grass field in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. And Goff has yet to throw 3 touchdown passes in a game this season. 29 quarterbacks have done so. Somehow Jared Goff is not one of them.
So
he's a bench for me this week in a 10-team league. Yeah.
I completely agree. Look, he's been bad on the road. The Steelers, the struggles that Pittsburgh has been offensive, not defensive.
Right.
Like, you know, the secondary is playing very, very well, and they get pressure after the quarterback, and so I'm with you.
It leads perfectly into sort of a modified version of Field and Stream this week because there are 6 teams on a bye. You've got somebody like Jared Goff in a bad spot matchup-wise. There are other quarterbacks that are in a bad spot matchup-wise, which leads us to our Week 10 streaming options.
And you're without Carson Wentz. You're without Deshaun Watson. Yeah. You're without Tom Brady. Right.
Yeah. Those would be ones on a bye.
I know, but I just wanted to name them. I just wanted to prove to everyone that I knew what teams were on a bye.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
sometimes this
you
is
win.
Yeah, that's right. I want to show off my knowledge. I just want to be like, that's right. That's right. I did it off the top of my head.
So let's
like that.
That was only three.
Walk through some options here.
Well, you've also got the Jaguars on a bye. You've got the Redskins.
You looked at the do it off the top of your head. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Sorry,
Fields, guys.
But it was
week 10 streaming options for quarterbacks. We'll start there. Yeah. Then we'll introduce a couple.
Brandon Allen, Dwayne Haskins, and Gardner Minshew is on a bye. No, I'll do
stop it.
You stop with your big girl voice.
All of these streaming options are available in more than 50% of leagues. I'm just going to rip through some of these names.
Let me give you a proper setup here. Time now. If you need a quarterback for America's favorite segment, Field and Stream, starring Field Yates.
All right.
Field, give us some quarterbacks to stream in week number 10.
Quarterbacks available in more than 50% of leagues. And this is not in a particular order. It's just names to consider. Ryan Tannehill, who plays the Chiefs on Sunday, understanding that Ryan Tannehill has to score to keep up against Kansas City, who we expect to have Patrick Mahomes. He's one of three players right now that has a three-game streak of 19-plus fantasy points each of the past three games. So there were players on a bye that obviously did not hit that threshold, et cetera, but Tannehill has been red hot, or I'd say for fantasy purposes, hot, since taking over for Marcus Mariota.
Ask a question. I'm just curious. Quick football question.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. And I open this up to the crew. I want everyone to weigh in on this. Ryan Tannehill's been terrific since taking over.
Pretty good,
pretty good. He's been pretty good, right? You know, he's been good fantasy-wise. He's been good quarterback-wise. Has Ryan Tannehill's success over the last couple of weeks, does that look worse for Miami? Or does that look worse for Marcus Mariota? You think so?
First of all, he had 6 years in Miami to get it done.
Yeah,
when
I know, but is that the organization, right?
Yeah.
You think it looks worse for Marcus Mariota?
No question. I don't think it's
Stefania.
100%.
Yeah.
Secret Squirrel, you want to weigh in on this?
Nope. I'm arguing with Keith about something totally different.
Moving along here, the other streaming options.
I agree with you, by the way. I think it looks terrible for Mariota, who was,
Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones will be in the same stadium on Sunday. The Jets, technically the home team for this game at MetLife. No word on whether the Cats will be available. But Sam Darnold,
they haven't found him yet.
They haven't found those cats.
They haven't found the black cat
yet. Found that black cat. But in any event, Sam Darnold has not played great in good spots recently. However, there have been seven times that a quarterback has scored over 20 points against the Giants this season. Daniel Jones, over the past 2 weeks, or excuse me, the last 2 weeks, quarterbacks against the Jets have totaled 47.7 fantasy points, 567 pass yards and 6 passing touchdowns. And I will mention that in the two good spots this year for Daniel Jones, the Bucs and the Lions, he's crushed it. In the other spots, he has not played so well. There seems to be a bit of a trend there. Last one is Jimmy Garoppolo, who was quarterback 2 last week.
I've heard of him.
And the Seahawks right now are very generous to opposing quarterbacks, as we saw with Jameis this past Sunday. As for some streaming defensive options, believe it or not, the Jets, who face the Giants, have scored 10-plus points in 5 straight games. I would not have expected that, but that has been the case for the Jets. The Giants play the Jets, and the Jets are an absolute disaster. Remember, the Giants, in a good spot in Week 4 against the Redskins, were the number one scoring defense, so there's been some precedent of them taking advantage of a really, really good matchup. Meanwhile, the Browns, we talked about them earlier on from an offensive standpoint, they have the third highest pressure rate, and Josh Allen owns the lowest passer rating when pressured so far this season. Those are all names to consider if you're looking to fill in for the Patriots, who have been outstanding, obviously, as a fill-in defense this year, or a starting defense this year, the Jaguars, and some of the other teams on a bye that have been close to fantasy relevant for defensive purposes. Now we go back to Stefania, and here are the injuries, Stefania, that aren't necessarily less significant, but sort of a quicker blurb on that because we have a little bit more clarity, I would say.
Yeah. So we'll start with Le'Veon Bell, who ended up getting his knee looked at this week, took a big hit in the fourth quarter of last week's game. Adam Gase said he was pretty banged up, pretty sore, and he didn't practice on Wednesday, but he did make it back on Thursday, limited practice. Gase has said that he expects that he will play this weekend, so it looks like Le'Veon Bell will go, obviously. All of these, the caveat is
double-check. Trust is the wrong word, but you study this stuff much more closely than I do, Stefania, because we know there are certain coaches that are super very clear with the media, and there are other coaches that a little more cagey.
Where would you
put Adam Gase on the, you know,
the
super honest to a little more cagey scale?
Kind of middle of the road. And I think that, you know, it's all too in the context and the presentation. I think he was just saying, yeah, he expects it. He called him sore. I think once they got the word there was nothing structurally wrong with his knee,
right,
it then shifts everybody's feelings. Like, okay.
So it's about pain management and everything like that. Yeah. Maybe a slightly reduced role.
I think they feel pretty optimistic.
I would say very quickly that if you were trying to handcuff Le'Veon Bell, I've seen some people picking up Ty Montgomery. My expectation is at this point it would be Bilal Powell, who the last couple of weeks has been the second guy in. So just if you were looking to handcuff him, that'd be the guy.
Moving on to Adam Thielen, the Vikings. Remember, he missed week 8, and then he aggravated the hamstring injury that kept him out week 8 early in last week's game. This really looked like exactly the kind of thing the Vikings did not want to see. Remember last year with Dalvin Cook? I keep going back to that because that was when you have a hamstring injury that becomes chronic. That's what it looks like. And you have to think, after that experience with Thielen stepping in and not being able to go, that they're going to be really conservative now with him. So not practicing. I don't expect him to play this week. Keep this in mind. They have a bye in week 12.
Yeah.
And so this might not be the only week you don't see Adam Thielen. If you're thinking about it, it might be this week and next week. Oof. As well. And then they have a bye in week 12. So you'd be without him for 3 more weeks. Moving down to Dallas, Amari Cooper with his knee banged up. And there was some real concern about what was going on. Now, not as much. So looking like Amari Cooper will be back. Sterling Shepard, we already alluded to his situation with the concussion issue. Obviously, last week we got news on Sunday in our show that he was not going to play Monday night after he had actually cleared the concussion protocol. Just a reminder that these things can go sideways when you're dealing with this kind of injury. You can be feeling well and then all of a sudden you're not. Again, they have said now, just to be clear, they are not talking about injured reserve as a possibility for him. They're really just trying to work day to day through his health issues and get him back through the concussion protocol. So I wouldn't make any assumptions that he's gone for good, but certainly I think even though he was out doing some stretching with the team this week, I think the expectation is that he will not be there. Evan Engram, same team, midfoot injury. These are the ones that are really problematic because they can start off looking like not such a bad thing. Now, I've seen a few things written, and let me just clarify. Midfoot injury, reportedly Evan Engram had what they called a low-grade midfoot sprain. And then I saw some places that it was written, well, thank goodness it's not a Lisfranc injury. It is. If you have an injury in the midfoot, you have a sprain in the midfoot, it is a Lisfranc injury. But there is a wide range of severity. If it's considered stable, then it's not a surgical situation. You let them rest, you rehab, and you hope that they can come back without anything significant. But that range of return, guys, is 2 to 8 weeks. So when you're talking about what's going to happen with Evan Engram, he's not going to play this week, but there's no way to put a lockdown on his time. And then lastly, Delanie Walker, still out likely again, unless something changes drastically today. He hasn't practiced yet this week. Obviously, Jonnu Smith has stepped in. This is his surgically repaired ankle that's been a problem for him. So they're definitely not going to push it.
So, obviously, you're going to need to make other plans if you have Evan Engram.
The tight end position just gets super, super thin in an already thin spot. And again,
brutal.
Six teams on a bye. No Zach Ertz, no Dallas Goedert, for example. No Darren Fells, for example. No Jeremy Sprinkle, also not playing this weekend. We're going to come back and talk about the Colts and the Dolphins game. But before we get to that, a quick word from our friends at The Fantasy Show. All righty.
You're in the 06010.
The Colts host the all-of-a-sudden frisky Dolphins on Sunday, and for Indianapolis, quarterback Jacoby Brissett has practiced on a limited basis so far this week. No clarity as of yet as to whether he will return to the lineup or whether it will be Brian Hoyer under center. That being said, what we're about to say about Zach Pascal after we talk about Devontae Parker is not merely dependent upon Jacoby Brissett playing. Brian Hoyer is absolutely a capable fill-in quarterback. But let's begin with Parker because after
a backup to start, sure. It's when you're at home against the Dolphins.
Yes, but let's begin with the Dolphins. No more Preston Williams this season after tearing his ACL and landing on IR. The team does have Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant and some other guys that have made some contributions during their tenure there. Actually, both paid pretty reasonable money.
Mike Gesicki. I'm having trouble with last names today. Mike Gesicki. The tight end out of Penn State who had a nice game.
He did 5 for 95 last week, but we do believe that the player who I think going forward is the primary target of their passing game is Devontae Parker.
Sure.
Who scored in 4 of 5 games.
It only took how many
years? I was just going to say the year five breakout.
Yeah, it was like the year, I was going to say, is it 5 or 6?
It's 5 for Devontae Parker.
Yeah, 5.
So it's not that we expect the touchdown to continue in droves. It's just that the targets should be there. Preston Williams was up like 8+ targets per game. So Parker cracks he's a flex play now. He has sort of worked his way into wide receiver 3 or flex consideration depending on your league size and what your other options are. He has actually shown really well, and this Colts defense is solid and tough and definitely exceeds expectations regularly, but this is not the Patriots or the 49ers secondary that Devontae Parker and Ryan Fitzmagic are going to be thrown against on Sunday. Any disagreement there?
Nope. Okay. No disagreement at all. Okay. Again, look, they're going to have to score to keep up with the Colts. They're going to have to throw. And as long as Ryan Fitzpatrick's under center, he's a professional quarterback who has supported multiple fantasy-relevant wide receivers.
It's
not always going to be pretty.
Professional backup quarterbacks here in this game, right?
He 100% is.
All right. Moving along to Zach Pascal, who, again, no T.Y. Hilton so far in practice this week.
Yeah,
don't expect him on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Pascal had, I believe it was 7 catches this past week. He has been charged with just 1 drop in his career, so he's reliable. No Paris Campbell on Sunday for them.
12 catches on 14 targets over the last 3 games, 4 touchdowns in the 4 career games where he's gotten 3 or more targets. We expect him to get 3 or more targets here.
Yep. 5 for 76, I should say, earlier in week 9. So he's become the guy, sort of, in that Indianapolis passing game. Another flex consideration in a super deep league. I know that I just saw you pick up Chester Rogers in the war room.
Look, the Dolphins are bad against the slot, and so Chester Rogers runs the most routes out of the slot on the Indianapolis Colts, with T.Y. Hilton out. And so, yeah, Chester Rogers, I think, again, 16-team league. I have Evan Engram in that league, so he's out, and I have Terry McLaurin on a bye. So, again, James Conner is banged up as well. So, yeah, I'm starting Chester Rogers against Scott Clark.
Well, I mentioned earlier how I am actually starting, or at least planning to start, Kareem Hunt. The only other option in my lineup that I have available is Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon was limited in his first practice in which the Seahawks had to submit a practice report. It's an ankle injury. I presume it's residual because he was placed on IR with the Patriots because of a knee issue. He was also at the time limited by an ankle issue. It sounds that they seem to be speaking about a guy that's going to play on Monday night.
Yeah.
Sort of the same question that I posed, though, on Kareem Hunt, and maybe I'm doing this for selfish reasons. Could he crack your lineup on Monday night?
No. I mean, look, anything's possible, I suppose. I get it. You'd have to be pretty desperate. But, I'd prefer Kareem Hunt to Josh Gordon. If that's a decision you guys are making, I would prefer Kareem Hunt.
I'll play Josh Gordon.
The running back, it's easier. He's been in that building. No, but, he's been in the building since the summer. It's a running back, and, there's a better chance at a touchdown here. It's also a better matchup. For him, Josh Gordon, the other part is not only did he just get there, right? And we don't know if he's 100% healthy, but he's facing the 49ers. The Stefania's formerly terrible, formerly crappily, formerly awful, formerly laughing stock of the league to undefeated, last remaining undefeated team in the NFL, a juggernaut, the San Francisco 49ers, and it's been their defense field that's been so fantastic. They have the highest sack percentage in the league. They're allowing the second fewest yards per pass attempt.
How happy it makes me to hear Stefania, to say this over and over after you just railed on my defense for a couple years straight, and deservedly so.
Yes.
But
I call like I see him. And
for you to have to sit here and say all these wonderful things.
Last 4 weeks, they're the number one scoring defense in the NFL, the number one pass defense in the NFL. He just got there. For me, the activation of Josh Gordon is more about taking DK Metcalf and lowering his fantasy value than it is getting excited about Josh Gordon and his Seahawks debut.
Well, the other part of the Josh Gordon equation is, again, and we sort of already stated this, but they play on Monday night, so if you're holding out for Josh Gordon, unless you have, a potential extra bench spot and you can drop somebody and pick up Jerron Brown last minute, you're going to be in a little bit of a pickle. We hope that Josh Gordon finds a consistent role, but maybe give it a week or two or maybe more to see if it actually comes together in Seattle. We talked a little bit about the quarterbacks involved in this game, the Snoopy Bowl, which is what they call it when the Giants and the Jets both play. It may not be pretty in real football standards, but it might be useful for fantasy football. We talked about the quarterbacks earlier and the defenses earlier. So how about some of the non-obvious parts, like not Le'Veon Bell, not Saquon Barkley, I guess specifically the wide receivers. Which wide receivers do you have the most belief in this week in these two teams or when these two teams square off?
Well, I think Golden Tate.
That's number one, yeah.
Yeah, Golden Tate. I mean, look, he's had at least 6 targets in every game so far this season, 14 catches on 16 targets the last 2 weeks. No Sterling Shepard, no Evan Ingram in this one. And so a good matchup against the Jets, right? I mean, Jets are 23rd against the pass over the last 4 weeks. And so Golden Tate should have a nice game here. He's the guy of this four that I would have the most confidence in among all the pass catchers among the Jets and the Giants that are going to play.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And then I think going forward, you start with the slot guys, right?
Right.
And so, then you go to the perimeter players, right? Robbie Anderson and Darius Slayton would be our bottom two here.
Yeah, so I would here's how I'd rank them. Golden Tate,
yep.
Jamison Crowder, Robbie Anderson, Darius Slayton.
And we both agree that Golden Tate is a wide receiver 3, Jamison Crowder is like a low-end wide receiver 3, Anderson a wide receiver 4, and then Slayton...
With upside, though.
Yes,
I mean, look, because the way you beat the Giants is by throwing deep, and obviously... Look, Sam Darnold has not played well so far this year. Robbie Anderson's been very inconsistent. But if ever there was a game for Robbie Anderson, this is it.
God, I hope so. I hope the light turns on for Robbie Anderson. He's now got, 7 games left in his restricted free agent season. He's potentially going to cash in March, but he's got to play really well down the stretch for the Jets. We had some fun the last time we picked the game between the Jets and the Dolphins last week. It may not be pretty, but somebody has to win. Would you guys like to pick this game for fun?
I will take the Giants.
I'll take the Giants as well.
I don't feel that strongly about it, but I guess I'm taking the Giants.
Use your big girl voice.
Clean sweep.
I know. I'm trying to mumble it.
Exactly.
It's tough because I think I don't trust the Jets. Am I supposed to take, should I just be contradictory just to do it?
Well, that's you're exactly where I was, where like, do I play contrarian? But you know what?
Yeah, I'll take the Jets.
There you go.
Wow. Okay. Daniel Dopp said with strong conviction right there. All right, we got Daniel taking the Jets. The rest of us are taking the Giants. A few reminders. Fantasy Football Now is on Sunday, and as far as I know, we are on our regular 10 a.m. Eastern time.
That's right, ESPN2.
ESPN2. We'll be there with all the latest information. Certainly a lot of question marks going into Sunday. Yeah.
By the way,
a lot of questions.
By the way, we didn't even mention this just as long as we're on this game, but the Fantasy Life app, you know, the alerts absolutely crushed. Right. I got one 24 minutes ago while we were doing this show. Adam Gase says it looks good for Le'Veon Bell and Chris Herndon to play on Sunday. That is a tweet from Brian Costello.
That's good. That reinforces what we said about Le'Veon Bell. Chris Herndon is a guy we've been watching for 2 weeks. Remember, we thought he might be active and then not playing. Like that's where we were a week ago. So we knew he was making some progress coming off the hamstring injury. But there's help for somebody who's thin at tight end. If you was dropped in your league,
I'm a little cautious, a little nervous on Chris Herndon. Although, again, desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah, 6 teams on a bye, injuries. If someone already snagged someone like Jonnu Smith, for example, but really looking forward to Chris Herndon, who is one of my favorite keeper tight ends in fantasy football. There's a lot of talent to be tapped into. It's just a matter of whether he gets healthy and the Jets decide they want to run a functional offense. As we mentioned, Fantasy Football Now, the fantasy show is on ESPN Plus right now.
It is indeed. Go check out the Love Hate tag team written by Field, Matt Bowen, and Tristan Cockcroft. So
check
that
out. You know what? I read it right away when I saw that.
It's the most read version of Love Hate in the history of ESPN.com.
I try my best to write like Matthew, which we'll see. You guys can decide what you think about that. You guys can decide whether it was an effort in vain or whether it was an effort that actually worked out in my favor. Anything else? Stefania's got some stuff over the weekend. As always, follow her on Instagram, StefaniaB87, or Stefania_ESPN on Twitter.
And if you're out there at Monday Night Football, say hi.
Say hello to Stefania.
Oh, that's right. Boondoggling Stefania is boondoggling her way all the way.
Never return right. back to Bristol.
Look, if they win, I'm going to be more insufferable than I already was.
So I don't believe that's possible.
You know the word, by the way. Everybody knows that Matthew is at Matthew Barrett TMR on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app. But I had a question.
Yes, sir.
You created this app, right?
Co-founded it. Yep.
Okay, you co-founded this app. How did you not name yourself Matthew Barry TMR on that?
You know,
is
what?
There a character limit?
No, there wasn't a character. There wasn't a character limit. I don't know.
Is there a Matthew Barry TMR on the Fantasy Life app?
There is not. There is not. I actually have both names, and I just went with at Matthew Barry. I always wanted to be at Matthew Barry, but somebody beat me to at Matthew Barry on Twitter. And so I went with the TMR, and then just Snapchat and Instagram and, you know, all the other social media networks have taken off, I've just sort of kept the same name.
You've been bringing it on TikTok recently.
I don't know if I signed up for TikTok yet. I better do that right now before someone takes it.
Thanks, Field.
Yeah, thanks, Field.
Russian bot at Matthew Barry TMR. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
All right, Matthew needs to change his name on the Fantasy Life app. Other than that, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Peace out!
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. Matthew Barry, he's Matthew Barry.